Morning Flood.
Amen. On the battlefield for Jesus. Hopefully you can hear me okay. And we're coming in loud and clear. We got a new mic system, not for this, but for my... I might be using it later, the lapel mic or lavalier mic, whatever you call it. But hopefully you can hear me okay. Gave you some time to get on here today. Friday, a different time here than our normal time. And people from Sermon Audio won't know that. So that's why I kind of got to alert them a little bit and let them know that we are on at 11 p.m. Or excuse me, 11 a.m. That's 12 p.m. Eastern time at noon Eastern time on Fridays. So you can keep up to date with us there on that time. Glad you can hear it. Had some different songs for you here today. Chris Stanzel, The Lighthouse, and When the Storm Passes By. Good songs, good hymns. Chris Stanzel's got a good deep voice. I need to buy his album so I can play more of them for you. I love to hear. Loud but unclear. Okay, Peter, you quit causing trouble or I'm going to put you in timeout somewhere. I don't know where, but there's some places I'd like to put you, but prison's not allowed, so I can't put you there. But anyway, let's see here. So today we're going to talk about some apostasy and religious freedom. I'm gonna disagree with John MacArthur on some things here today. MacArthur is pushing this no religious freedom stuff, and it's dangerous what he's pushing. And I'll tell you why MacArthur is pushing that. He's pushing that because he's a Puritan. And if you know anything about the Puritans, I'll direct you to go back to American history, and I'll direct you to go back to New England, and then I'll direct you to go back to Ill News from New England that John Clark wrote, or Roger Williams, one of the two. No, John Clark wrote Ill News from New England. Roger Williams wrote his masterful treatise about the bloody tenet of persecution. And then the Puritans tried to combat that by saying, a bloody tenet washed in the blood of Jesus, which was a big joke, by the way. And then Roger Williams retorted with a bloody tenet yet more bloody. So you see, Obadiah Holmes was beaten by the Puritans. And why was Obadiah Holmes beaten by the Puritans? Well, it was over religious freedom. You see, the Puritans had in their minds that what they would do is they would have religious freedom for them. And as long as you agreed with them, then you could have religious freedom. But if you stop agreeing with them, then you were a dirty heretic and we could beat you bloody. And that's what the Puritans did in New England. And that's why Roger Williams wrote his masterful treatise called A Bloody Tenet of Persecution. Now, Mr. MacArthur, I would look you in your Johnny Mac eyeballs and I would tell you very clearly that I'm very clear and I understand very well about religious freedom in America. You see, I'm willing to look at you face to face and I'm willing to talk to you about religious freedom. See, I'm willing to ask you to defend Roger Williams being beaten by the Puritans, Obadiah Holmes being beaten by the Puritans. I'd like you to defend that. See, I'd like you to defend that when you guys and David Barton, little thumb-sucking David Barton, it looks like he's about 12 years old, that guy, comes out and tells everybody that, hey, you know what? There's no such thing as separation of church and state. Well, I beg to differ. I would say if you go back to England and you go back to the anonymous prisoner of Newgate, if you go back to England and you go back to those that suffered over there at the hands of the state, I disagree with you. If you go back to John Bunyan... Remember him? Remember the tinker from Bedford? Remember him? Pilgrim's Progress? Bunyan sat in prison because of guys like MacArthur. See, Bunyan sat in prison. Bunyan's trial came about because of men like MacArthur. That's why men like Bunyan sat in prison. Because they wouldn't agree with the state. They wouldn't take a license. They wouldn't agree with the state. Now, some people would say, hey, now Johnny Mack wouldn't make anybody do that. Oh, yeah? Well, when Johnny Mack starts talking about there's no such thing as religious freedom, it's idolatry, what he's telling you is, as long as you agree with me, then you can have freedom. But if you don't agree with me anymore or my interpretation of the scriptures, then you have no freedom and we're going to persecute you. See, that's the Reformed view. That's the Reformed view of many of them. As long as we're in control of the state, baby, you got some freedom. But if you don't, then we're going to drop some of that religious democracy on you. Right? Just like they're all 501c3s and they tried, and J.D. Hall and all these guys come out defending 501c3. Let me be very clear. J.D. Hall, and please share this with him, knows zero about 501c3. Knows zero about what he's talking about. When you turn your church into a creature of the state and you defend that, he knows zero about what he's talking about. Absolutely idiotic and foolish. Absolutely rum-dum to a T about the subject. And really has no business speaking about it until he knows what he's talking about. But all these guys, these Reformed guys, MacArthur, J.D. Hall, all these guys agree with incorporating their churches with the state. And then they complain about the state telling them what to do. But you sign the paperwork, right? You ask for the tax-exempt status. You asked them to lord over you. You created corporations. You made yourselves creatures of the state. And then, when the state starts enforcing it, then you guys don't like it anymore. Well, you signed up for it. You agreed to it. You asked for favors from the state. Right? No one forced you. No one forced you. So MacArthur here urges Christians not to support religious freedom. I won't, he said, during his State of the Church address Wednesday, which replaced his Shepherd's Conference for Men and Church Leadership that was postponed due to ongoing litigation and threats from the state. You mean so you caved? Yeah. MacArthur urged evangelicals to stop forming alliances with non-Christian groups to promote religious freedom. Well, I agree with that. I don't want to be with any of them. I wouldn't join hands with you, MacArthur. But see, here's the problem with their direction and what they're saying. They only want freedom if you agree with them. They don't want you to have freedom if you don't agree with them. That's how the Puritans were. And that's plain and simple. If you agreed with their doctrine, fine then. But if not, they persecuted. So, here's the thing. If there's not religious freedom for all, here's how that works. And I don't agree with aligning ourselves with other people either. But here's the thing. Here's how it works, friend. Here's what you have to understand. If you... if you don't have religious freedom for all, then the state becomes the arbitrator of what a true church is and what a true church is not. Then you said it, then who becomes the arbiter? Who becomes the arbitrator? Who's the one that makes the decision about what a church is? See, that's why you need religious liberty for all. God never said burn all heretics. God never instructed us in the New Age. Christ never instructed us to use the sword. Against people that don't follow us. And I'm not saying MacArthur's for that, but what I'm saying is that's the bent on that. That's the way that goes. When you said that's a Puritan way to look at the state. It's a reformed way to look at the state. And I'm going to tell you what, they're the first people to get in line to persecute. Calvin did it. Zwingli did it. Luther possibly might have done it. There's some debate about that. But he sure did try to put him down in Munster and the stuff that he tried to do. So all of these reformers, Knox didn't like the Anabaptists and did it. See, I know my history. I'm a Baptist that knows my history. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not running from it. I get it. I get the history. And I'm telling you what, we're in danger when you start hearing all these Puritanistic people, these reformers, talk about, oh, well, we don't believe in religious liberty for all. Well, I do. I believe you have a right to be the biggest idiot in the world. You have the absolute right to go to hell if you want to. You have the absolute right to believe in false doctrine if you want to. You have the absolute right to burn in hell for all of eternity. You have that right. God doesn't force any man to be saved. If you want to die and go to hell, you have every right to die and go to hell. And I am one of those that believes in religious liberty for all. Here's some famous quotes I'll give you by Baptists in America. Also, Thomas Hughley's before America. If the king's people be obedient and true subjects, obeying all humane laws made by the king, this is in 1612, by the way, our Lord the king can require no more. For men's religion to God is betwixt God and themselves. The king shall not answer for it, neither may the king be judged between God and man. Thomas Hughes, co-founder of the Baptist Church in Amsterdam, Holland, a short declaration of the mystery of iniquity. He says again, if our Lord the King by his discerning judgment see that his Queen Mary by her sword of justice had no power over her subjects' consciences, for then had she power to make them all papist, and all that resisted her therein suffered justly as evildoers. Neither hath our Lord the King by that sword of justice power over his subjects' consciences, for all earthly powers are one and the same in their several dominions. How about Roger Williams in a bloody tenet of persecution for the cause of conscience? He said this in 1644, an enforced uniformity of religion throughout a nation or civil state confounds the civil and religious, denies the principles of Christianity and civility, and that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Roger Williams goes on to say to Mr. Cotton, John Cotton, that is, he said this in 1644, when they, the church, have opened a gap in the hedge or wall of separation between the garden of the church and the wilderness of the world, God hath ever broken down the wall itself, removed the candlestick, etc., and made his garden a wilderness as it is this day. And that, therefore, if he will ever please to restore his garden in paradise again, it must of necessity be walled and peculiarly unto himself from the world. And all that be saved out of the world are to be transplanted out of the wilderness of the world. Amen. The church is a garden enclosed. Isaac Backus, a Baptist who suffered for religious liberty. Said this in 1773, religious matters are to be separated from the jurisdiction of the state, not because they are beneath the interests of the state, but quite to the contrary, because they are too high and holy and thus are beyond the competence of the state. God has appointed two kinds of government in the world, which are distinct in their nature and ought never to be confounded together, one of which is called civil, the other ecclesiastical government. In an appeal to public for religious liberty. See, my Baptist forefathers understood full well. They understood full well the difference. You know, here's the thing, guys. I really don't care if he's a Jesuit. I really don't care if he's a... I don't care what he is. To be honest with you, it doesn't matter. I care what he's saying and what he's doing now. I don't have to prove any of those other things. The only thing I have to prove is he's dead stinking wrong about this. I don't need to prove any of those secret, Kabbalistic secret things. I don't have to do any of that. I could just give you the facts. Because people will argue forever whether he's a Jesuit, whether he's a Mason, whether he picks corn out of poop. I don't, whatever. They'll do that forever. I don't have to. I'll just go by what he says. I'll go by what he says and what he does. And that's all that'll matter. I don't even have to go there. I don't have to make a dark secret video of 30 secret handshakes that he did and 30 thumb wrestling wars he had with Jesuits. I don't have to do any of that. All I have to do is deal with the facts. All you have to learn to do is deal with the facts. That's all you have to do. Deal with facts. Deal with what you know. Because people stop listening to you if you try to prove things that you can't prove. Use what their words are, and then you don't have to monkey around with the rest of it. I don't have to speculate about any of that. I'll just deal with what I have to deal with. It's all I have to do. Isaac Backus. Let's look at John Leland. What did Leland say? Leland. Let me show you who Leland is. This right here is the Leland Madison Memorial. You know why? I've been here. The Leland Madison Memorial. Right here. This is where John Leland and James Madison met underneath a tree here. And they had a discussion. And their discussion was about religious liberty. That religious liberty should be for all. And that Leland would run for office, oust Madison from the opportunity, not ratify the Continental Congress and its constitution, but he would fight it, and he would win because he had all of Orange County backing him. Right? And he did. And Madison promised to put a provision for religious liberty in there, for liberty for all. He promised to put it in there if Leland would back him. And he kept his promise. By the way, that's separation of church and state. Here's what Leland said. The notion of a Christian commonwealth should be exploded forever. Government should protect every man in thinking and speaking freely and see that one does not abuse another. The liberty I contend for is more than toleration. The very idea of toleration is despicable. It supposes that some have a preeminence above the rest to grant indulgence, whereas all should be equally free. Jews, Turks, pagans, and Christians. He goes on to say in the right of conscience, by the way, which is a Baptist distinctives, you won't find the Puritans really backing up that. You won't find the Puritans backing up that. No, no, no. What you'll find them doing is warring against that. Leland went on to say, these establishments metamorphize the church into a creature and religion into a principle of state, which has a natural tendency to make men conclude that the Bible religion is nothing but a trick of state. Here's another one. Is conformity of sentiments in matters of religion essential to the happiness of civil government? Not at all. Government has no more to do with the religious opinions of men than it has with the principles of mathematics. Let every man speak freely without fear. Maintain the principles that he believes. Worship according to his own faith. Either one God, three gods, no God, or 20 gods. And let government protect him in so doing. See that he meets with no personal abuse or loss of property for his religious opinions. Instead of discouraging him with prescriptions, fines, confiscation, or death, let him be encouraged as a free man to bring forth his arguments and maintain his points with all boldness. Then if his doctrine is false, it will be confuted. And if it is true, though ever so novel, let others credit it. When every man has this liberty, what can he wish for more? A liberal man asks for nothing more of government. By the way, you want to hear another good quote? Here's another good one. Leland said. Experience has informed us that the fondness of magistrates to foster Christianity has done it more harm than all persecutions ever did. Well, shut my mouth. How about that one? You mean like Donald Trump, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and all these other devils that, and all these devils in Congress that get religion every 4 years during election? Yeah. See, Leland knew the difference. Leland had more respect for those men that never claimed Christianity. Leland had more respect for those that never claimed Christianity than he did for those that claimed it, that prostituted it out. He had more respect for those that didn't claim it at all. I do too, by the way. Because those men that claim it and don't live it, all they use it for is to trick others. That's all they use it for. That's it. That's the reason for it. It ends up being a trickery. That's what it ends up being. So there's a lot of men that understood full well religious liberty. See, Baptists understood this. Baptists understood the severity of the mixture of church and state. They understood it. Why? Because they were persecuted under it. See, Baptists, when they were in England, escaped England, came here, and that's when that lively experiment took place in Rhode Island. Why? Well, what happened? Well, John Clark, Obadiah Holmes, and another man, they were meeting at a man's house over in Massachusetts. And as they met in that house over there, and they baptized that man, and they held meetings with him, those Puritan leaders told them that they arrested them, brought them to court, and accused them. John Clark's fine was paid. Obadiah Holmes' fine. Obadiah Holmes refused his fine to be paid. So, Obadiah Holmes was beaten with enough slashes to make him look vile. I'm trying to find a portrait of this. I don't know if I have this portrait. I'd like to get this one. No, I've got that one over there. I don't think I have Obadiah Holmes' beating, but I'd like to get it. If anybody wants to buy it for me, they can buy it for sure, and I'll put it in my collection. But it is... Ted Alexander wrote a little book on it. That's his right there. By the way, you ought to order Ted's Baptist Heroes of the Faith books. They're great for children. They're great for all of us, but they're mini little biography booklets. And you can order those from his website, Evangelist Ted Alexander. But if you go there, you can order all of these. All of these booklets. He's done a good number of them, Baptist biographies, and they're really good. Baptist Hero of the Faith series. By the way, Obadiah Holmes wrote this book in which I've read it. It's called Baptist Piety. It's the last will and testament of Obadiah Holmes. And I suggest you reading it. It's a good book. I've read it, I think, twice, but maybe once. I don't remember. Anyway, Obadiah Holmes, by the way, Ill News in New England, which is another book that you can get. Ill News from, look, I'm giving you a Baptist history lesson today. And I'm not even charging you for it. Here we go. Ill News from New England, right here. You can order that from Baptist Standard Bearer, if you'd like. Okay. And you can order that from there. Ill News from New England tells the story of Obadiah Holmes' beating. When they beat him, why did they beat him? Because he held an unlawful assembly in somebody's house. So the Puritans, by the way, these were not pagans that did this. They were not lost people. I don't believe. Maybe they were, but they were not lost people that did this. They were Puritans that beat him. So Roger Williams accepts the payment for his fine. Roger Williams accepts payment for his fine. Obadiah Holmes rejects the payment. Obadiah Holmes was never the same again after that. He walked around mangled after that. He looked at him and says, "Thou hast beat me as with roses." Now, John Clark writes Ill News from New England to let everybody know what happened. And he sends that off to England and lets everybody know what happened to Obadiah Holmes. Roger Williams writes The Bloody Tenet of Persecution about the same thing. Well, then John Clark, then Roger Williams is banished from Boston, from Massachusetts. He's banished from that part of New England. He goes into New Hampshire, spends a really rough winter there, and he heads off to Rhode Island. Now, when he gets to Rhode Island, him and John Clark and Roger Williams, they want to start the first religious state, or religious freedom in a state. Okay, so they want to go there, and they want to say everyone is allowed to worship God the way that they choose, as long as they don't hurt anybody else. So that's what they do. And they go and they petition the king in England for 12 years. They petition the king for freedom, for the right to exercise liberty of conscience and that lively experiment in Rhode Island, the Rhode Island Charter. Right? It's a lively experiment of liberty. Here it is. This is that lively experiment. This is the original and official charter. After nearly a 20-year effort, the colony was finally able to secure a royal charter from King Charles II that recognized the state of Rhode Island and Providence's plantations. More remarkable than the length of time it took to secure this recognition was the content of the document, which provided an unprecedented level of religious freedom and the separation of church and state. This lively experiment allowed that all and every person and persons may, from time to time and at all times thereafter, freely and fully have and enjoy his and their own judgments and consciences in matters of religious concernments. There is that lively experiment. See, so when men like MacArthur and those other men say, we don't believe in religious liberty, I do. Because I know what you guys do to us when we don't have it. When it's only your flavor that has it, I know what you boys do. We'll just take a look at the stripes of Obadiah Holmes. The fines, the banishment without their guns in the wilderness. See, then I understand about that lively experiment. Then I understand about religious liberty. See, then I understand about why I believe in religious liberty. Because I know when it's only liberty for a certain group of people, that means that whoever's in charge gets to choose who that certain group of people are. So in England, what happened? You had the Lord Protector Cromwell, and then you had the Catholics. So then when the Catholics took over, the Protestants were persecuted. And then when the Protestants took over, the Catholics were persecuted. And then when either one of them took over, the Anabaptists were persecuted. That's how that kind of worked. Isn't that something? The Baptists were always persecuted. That's how that worked. That's why we believe in liberty for all. Because we know the high cost. See, we know the high cost when there is no religious liberty. See, I know I can shoot the holes through MacArthur's position and David Barton's position and all these other men because I know the history. I understand it. I know what happened. I know what they did to people when they were in charge. I know these men fought. And I mean, honestly, John Clark, when he went over to England, he was poor. Clark was poor. They barely supported him. Those men trying to seek that royal charter, they sacrificed. So when people tell me, I don't believe in religious liberty, I don't believe in separation of church and state. When they go, there's no such thing as separation of church and state. Want to make a bet? See, I know the actual story. I know that this charter was used beyond the Constitution. When the Constitution came in the 1770s and 80s, when the Constitution was ratified, this was still in law. Why? Because it was better. This was that Baptist lively experiment. See, Baptists were grievously persecuted. Go back to John Bunyan. Mm-hmm. See, they understood. See, they knew. And that's why the Baptist position is the correct one, because it's a Bible position. That Jesus didn't use the sword to force people to believe. That America is not the nation of Israel. That governments are not the nation of Israel. That the New Testament church is the garden enclosed. That it's to be separate from the state. These men understood that full well, and I understand it full well. And I know most of these people are absolutely ignorant of history completely. Even people that I respect. I respect, what's his name? Chris, I can see his face. I've met him and had lunch with him. What's his name? Chris Pinto. Chris Pinto. I respect Chris Pinto. I think he's a good man. I think he doesn't know about Baptist history enough. I think he's missing some points in his history. I think he's missing a lot of points in his history. And I think the Baptist part that he misses is the Liberty Party misses. And then they overemphasize on the reform stuff. Mm-hmm. Again, I think he's a good man. I think he's wrong about that. Because I understand the history of it. I know what those Puritans did to my Baptist forefathers for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, for organizing churches and not baptizing infants. I know full well what happened. And MacArthur gets to live on the other side of that. So he could say, oh, that's no big deal. Well, you could say that, MacArthur, it's no big deal, because you live on the other side of what Roger Williams, Obadiah Holmes, John Clark, and all those men did. You live on the other side of that, so you could say that. See, but I know what happens if you go down that road. Amen. So, I get it. I get it, friend. I understand it. I know the history of it. I've learned it. And it's a dangerous thing when people try to do that. All right, let's see here. Let's get a song here. And then we'll get back to it.
Light in the darkness, sailor, day is at hand. See o'er the foaming billows, fair haven's land. Here was the voyage, sailor, now almost o'er. Safe within the lifeboat, sailor, pull for the shore. Pull for the shore, sailor, pull for the shore. Heed not the rolling waves, but bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore. In the lifeboat, sailor, all else will fail. Stronger the surges dash and fiercer the gale. Heed not the stormy winds, though loudly they roar. Watch the bright and morning star and pull for the shore. Pull for the shore, sailor, pull for the shore. Heed not the rolling waves, but bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore. Bright gleams the morning, sailor, uplift the eye. Clouds of darkness disappearing, glory is nigh. Save in the lifeboat, sailor, sing evermore. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Pull for the shore. But bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore. Leave the poor old stranded wreck
Amen. Pull for the shore. So, praise the Lord for that song. Now, as we look a little bit deeper, now we're done with religious liberty for now. We'll move on to something else here. But that's a good little lesson for you, a good little historical lesson for you. Okay? Let's move on to some more apostasy watch, though, which, by the way, that's an important thing to watch for, what we just talked about. But look at this. Here we come to something here that's you know, we come to something here. Largest Christian adoption agency caves will start giving babies to sodomites. I want you to think about this. LGBTQ adoption by Christians, a Christian organization, so to speak. Right? So you have a Christian organization now that says they're Christian anyway, has revealed itself to be a treacherous twofold son of hell after Bethany Christian Services, the largest Christian adoption and foster agency in the United States, announced they would be offering their adoption services to homosexuals, lesbians, transgender couples, with President and Chief Executive Chris Pawlowski taking an all-hands-on-deck approach where all are welcome. So basically, they're facilitating the molestation of children. That's what they're doing. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Joel 3:3, and they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for a harlot. And sold a girl for wine that they might drink. See that? That's what they're doing. In a statement to the Christian Post, the cowardly and disqualified senior vice president, Nathan Bold, whose organization motto is to show the love and compassion of Jesus Christ by protecting children, empowering youth, and strengthening families through quality social services, explained that while faith in Christ was still very important to them and was at the core of their mission, that there was room for disagreement. In Christ, there's room for disagreement. The change in policy was officially approved by the board on January 21st, without any fanfare, now stating that Christians of mutual good faith can reasonably disagree on various doctrinal issues about which Bethany does not maintain an organizational position, but also emphasized that the board of members had diverse personal views on sexuality. Well, they should be off the board then. How is a gay couple, how is that a safe and stable environment for a child? Right? When sexual perversion is normalized on a daily basis, causing the children to view their parents' relationship as a good thing rather than a natural monstrosity that it is. The world already does this. Why would some organization that claims to be Christian? I'm going to tell you what it's about. It's about money. It's about money. Just let me show you something here. That's what it's always about. First Timothy 6:10. Whether it's any, by the way, that's why ministries, that's why adoption agencies and all those things ought to be ministries of the local New Testament church. You know why? Because you can vote those bums out when they do that. You can censure those bums. You can fire them. You can kick them out of your church. There's recourse then in a church for those things. Let as many as servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctor be not blasphemed. Let's see. If any man teach otherwise, it consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men. Of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. See, that decision all comes down to money. Don't ever kid yourself. This is a money condition. They're willing to send out, they're willing to sell out anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ for money. And that's what these churches are doing. And that's what this LGBTQ apostasy is all about. That is what it's about. It's about money. That's what it's about. Don't ever kid yourself. They're willing to compromise for money. They're willing to sell out any Christian principles if the government will fund them, if the juggernaut of the government will fund them, and if sodomites will pay for babies, they'll do it. They'll do it in a heartbeat. The normalization of sodomites, the normalization of the LGBTQ is rampant right now, and it's all because of the love of money. These churches want in on it. Let me show you something here. See if I can find it. This stinking devil. Where's this devil of the... I can't find it. Let's see. See if there's a search button here. I don't see it. Might have it on his page here. Let me look. There he is right there. This guy right here. The president of the Southern Baptist Convention, all about money. That's that what that whole thing's about, is money. Okay? Everything that he's doing with the LGBTQ, with the woke movement, it's all of that is money. It is absolutely nothing else but money. That's what it's about. The Southern Baptist Convention is hurting for money. They want money. So what are they willing to do for that money? Sell out. They are willing to sell out for money. That's what it's about. So that's why these evangelical adoption agencies are doing what they're doing. That's why, look, gay pastor says if you think homosexuality is a sin, then you want all homosexuals killed. No, that's not true. Just because I think you're an absolute Fruit Loop doesn't mean that I want you dead. I want you to be saved by the grace of God. But what I don't want is your perverted doctrine anywhere near me. Right? Same thing like this. The Southern Baptist Church is being infiltrated by the LGBTQ movement. Finally, the Southern Baptist Church boots this guy out, this church out. Right? But this Baptist church, it had opened its doors to membership openly gay practicing homosexuals. And they kept him in there. The Southern Baptist Convention. See, why is that? Money. It's about money. They're willing to compromise for money. Because it truly is the love of money, the root of all evil. That's what it's about. And they let them go. See, that's why I don't believe in conventions either, though. I believe in the local New Testament church. I believe in autonomy of the local New Testament church. I believe that the church is autonomous. It governs itself according to the scriptures. And that no other church has the right to govern it. No other organization has the right to lord over it. Right? Reminds me of this song. Man, I like this. Let's see if I can find. Let me see if I can find this song. See if I can find it here. Man, I had it somewhere. Let me see. So it happens when I'm looking for something and I can't find it. Let's see. There it is. Well, I haven't found the song yet, but here it is, this song.
For the church triumphant is alive and let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice. For we've settled the question and we've made our choice. Let the anthem ring out. Songs of victory swell. For the church triumphant is alive. been through some battles before. Storms and tempests and rocks on the shore. Though the hull may be battered, inside it's safe and dry. It will carry its cargo to the port in the sky. Let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice. For we've settled the question, and we've made our choice. Let the anthem ring out, songs of victory swell. For the church triumphant is alive and well. Let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice. For we've settled the question, and we've made our choice. Let the anthem ring out, songs of victory swell. For the church triumphant is alive and well. For the church triumphant, the church triumphant is alive and well.
Amen. Okay, again, all about the money, right? We look at the Roman Catholic group here, says that there is the COVID morally wrong. Catholic bishops caution.
This is a
just
real
that.
B&H customer story.
So French- they caution, the U.S. Conference of Bishops caution, urging people to seek alternatives to the coronavirus vaccines produced by Johnson, a company of Johnson & Johnson, argued the product raises additional moral concerns through its connection to aborted fetal cells. If one could choose among equally safe and effective COVID-19 vaccines, the vaccine with the least connection to abortion-derived cell lines should be chosen. So injecting aborted fetal cells in your arm is a great thing, right? Let's see. See, it says U.S. bishops splinter on the morality. See, there's another article. So the Archdiocese warns that, hey, there might be some, how come the Protestant, where's all the Protestant and Baptist people warning about these vaccines that have aborted fetal cells? Are they talking about it? How come the Catholics are talking about it? Cell lines derived from aborted fetuses in COVID-19 vaccine a concern for some Catholics. Well, I suppose it ought to be a concern for anybody that names the name of Christ. That you wouldn't want to inject aborted fetal cells in your arm. Right? That you'd have just a tad bit of a problem with that, wouldn't you? Well, Trump didn't have a problem with it, did he? Right? All these other people gravitating towards this. Aborted fetal cells. sticking them in their arms. And everybody pushing this vaccine like it's necessary, like it's needful. Right? So speaking of apostasy, what about this? What about the Trumpster's favorite guy here, the MyPillow dude? MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell, leads stadium full of people in weird pillow prayer. Founder and CEO of the right-wing favorite MyPillow company, Mike Lindell, is a peculiar figure in right-wing politics. Mike Lindell's testimony of coming to Christ is rather wacky, actually. For Lindell was on the streets as a crack addict while preaching the gospel to other people. He says that while he had a nominal Christian faith, he had not surrendered to Christ, yet those he preached the gospel to would be converted. He says he was later fully converted at a Christian retreat after arguing with a woman over his faith. He gave up drugs and founded the MyPillow company. Since then, Lindell has been caught up in the wacky charismatic movement. Lindell claims he had reoccurring prophetic dreams about Donald Trump being president. And despite the fact that Trump is not still in office, Lindell still hangs on to these so-called prophecies. At a recent rally, Mike Lindell held a pillow, MyPillow prayer event where he sent people home with prayer pillows and prayed a pillow prayer with them. Lindell's faith, this should not be construed as a judgment whether or not it's genuine, appears to be bound by the constraints of the political realm. Well, I mean, I don't have a problem saying the guy's probably lost. Right, Mr. Pillow Prayer Guy? I mean, charismatics, when you look at them, their doctrines are so wacky. They're not based on the gospel at all. They're based off visions and prophecies and everything else, right? That's what they're based off of. That's where they go. And then, of course, we shouldn't forget about music apostasy. There's always a musical apostasy, right? There's always some kind of apostasy when it comes to music, right? That is just like full scale. These contemporary Christian people, right? These contemporary Christian people, they're always... There's always something going on. Right? Always some kind of apostasy. Everywhere. We see it in the music, in the CCM groups, so drastically today. CCM, everywhere. The CCM groups that have completely infiltrated the music scene. By the way, let me show you something about that. Let's see. We talked about this before, but see if I can find it. See this? And openly, this one's not going to let me. Here we go. LGBTQ artist tops Christian iTunes chart. So, openly homosexual, call themselves Christians. Nobody bats an eye at it. Nobody bats an eye at it. Right? By the way, why are all these people supporting this music? I'm going to tell you why they're supporting it. because that's the spirit they have. That's the spirit that they hold to. When you can listen to that music, when you can support No, that's not the sod spying. Brandon erased a message he put on there. Brandon erased a message that he put on there. And that's why it comes up and says that you can still see that. It has nothing to do with anybody spying on it. Take your spooky hats off. That's not what it is. Brandon put a message up there. He unsent the message, and then it says how unsend works. That's what it is. It doesn't have anything to do with anything else. That's why that's up there. Oh, boy. People are losing their brains. Anyway, I'm going to keep going. So, the reason these people like that music, the reason they like that music is because that's the spirit they have. Remember this? Let's see.
First John chapter 2, verse number 18 says, little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. It is the last time, he says. In these end times, there will be a lot of Christ preached. Matthew chapter 24 talks about the same thing. Many false Christs shall go out. Many shall speak lies in Christ's name. Many shall preach a different Jesus, another gospel. This is CCM. It preaches another gospel. It preaches the, and I'm going to preach a sermon on this sometime soon called the Gospel of Antichrist. But that's another sermon. But there is a gospel of Antichrist. All right. And this basically CCM is the gospel of Antichrist in music. That's exactly what it is. It is a perverse foreign spirit. It is not, it in no way does it match up to the scriptures and what's found in the Bible. It is completely foreign. When you hear it, it ought to make sense to you when you hear what they're saying and the spirit of it, the music. It looks no different than a normal rock concert. It is no different than that. And the spirit of the people is no different. And I'm going to show you that today. It has an anti, what does the Antichrist desire? Worship to himself. He desires that worship to himself. It's nothing more than idolatry, really. It's what it is. But I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 3, please. I want to show you all kinds of music that was being used here and give you an example of this CCM Antichrist New Age spirit. And I added that spirit of homosexuality because it is prevalent in that movement. This is merging. This is bringing on that ecumenical mysticism. It is bringing it all together. It is bringing the one world emergent church together. This music. Music.
Whoa, that preacher preached that 6 years ago.
Music is very powerful. It is absolutely powerful. People don't understand how powerful music is. Well, I'll show you. 18,000 people gathered last night to hear one man sing. You don't think that's powerful? You're crazy. Sell it to somebody who's not stuck on stupid pills, okay? It is very powerful. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, and his breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Babylon. Doesn't America just ring with Babylon? This rings. I mean, you look around and all you see is Babylon. Bread and circuses, 18,000 people not caring for their souls yesterday at all, coming straight through that line all the way, one motive and one heart to go what? To hear a man sing how much he hates God. How he'd rather what? What does it need? Laugh with the sinners? And cry with the saints? To come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So there's an image set up here. We know it's the end times worship. Picture the end times worship that'll take place. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together into the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music." All kinds of music. Not one kind of music. Not music that honors and glorifies God. But just all kinds of music mingled in there. Everything acceptable today with the CCM crowd. There is nothing that's not acceptable today with the CCM crowd. By the way, that's why when you go preach outside of their events, they hate you. They're going to hate your guts. You go out to their CCM events out there. Where's that at, brother? Down in Wisconsin, out in Wisconsin. Actually, it's over by where Sarah's parents and her parents live over there. We're living in that time now where you can't tell the difference between the holy and the profane anymore among God's people. Nothing is sacred to them any longer. It's got to be just like the world. It's got to be sung like the world. And we're going to talk about that the next hour, really. But that's how it has to be. But it has that antichrist worship. This music was what? Geared towards what? Worship of what? The antichrist. The image. The beast. That was the worship. Called and commanded by a man. Same thing with this CCM, really. Same spirit. Same antichrist spirit. They lift up the performer. Just like the world. They can't settle for the narrow, can they? Not the narrow way, right? Not the narrow way. We can't handle the narrow way. No, it's got to be the broad road that leads to destruction, right? Not the narrow way. But wasn't the...
You know, I would try to say it, but this guy seems to be saying it exactly by what's going on. I mean, I know the guy preached it 6 years ago, but I mean... It's pretty spot on, isn't it? 6 years later?
Just religious. They were all religious here, weren't they? They were all bowing down and worshiping an image. And the music was used to hypnotize the masses and lull them in the worship of Antichrist. Same principles. Because I'm going to tell you, the God of CCM is not Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is Antichrist. That is the God of CCM. It is the absolute, absolutely the God of CCM. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 10, "Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image." It's exactly what's going on today. All the worship.
You know, this music has been used to push more apostasy and to get people to accept it, and they've listened to wicked music. More apostasy. Has come through in the form of music and entertainment to the Christian than anything else. And all they do is say Jesus, God, grace, Bible words they use, pervert them to the max. And people fall for it. But the God of CCM is the Antichrist.
All the worship geared towards what? To one man. One person, to one God. But who is that God? Is it the God of the Bible? Let's look. George Harrison of the Beatles sang this hit, his hit song, "My Sweet Lord." Christian youth all across the world in America were singing along, "My Sweet Lord." But then at the end of the song, Harrison deceitfully changed the lyrics to "My Sweet Lord, Hare Krishna." Harris's 1971 song, "My Sweet Lord," is a song of praise to the Hindu god, Krishna. In fact, Harrison admits that he did it to trick people. Who's the God of CCM? Who is the God of CCM? In 1982 interview with Hare Krishna Organization, George Harrison stated this: "I wanted to show that Hallelujah and Hare Krishna are quite the same thing. I did the voices singing Hallelujah and then the change to Hare Krishna so that people would be chanting the Maha Mantra before they knew what was going on. I had been chanting Hare Krishna for a long time, and this song was a simple idea of how to do a Western pop equivalent of a mantra which repeats over and over again the holy names. I don't feel guilty or bad about it. In fact, it saved many a heroin addict's life." How about that? By the way, that's George Harrison's interview. There's Nothing Higher, 1982. Just so you know. Now, I want to show you some things here, first of all. As we've talked about that, I always show you some images and things like that. I like to show you some of these. And the reason I like to show you these is because when people do an image, when they do something, they tip their hat to who they're worshiping. Okay? They're tipping their hat to who means something to them and what message they're trying to get across. So the all-seeing eye, when we see that in many different things, we actually know who they're worshiping. We get it, okay? We get it. If we understand who that is, it's just like when you look at a dollar bill and you see "In God We Trust" on it, and then you see the all-seeing eye on the back of it. Well, we know that's not our God. We know that's the God of CCM, though. That's the same God. It's the same God as the God, but that's not our God. Of course we understand "In God You Trust." Who is your God? It's the Antichrist. They're building a kingdom. They're preparing a kingdom for him. So this is one famous group, CCM group. See this here? See the one eye? Now, why would you do this? Yeah. Why would you do this? Yeah, this is Skillet. What a name, Skillet. Skillet. I'm going to call my group Eggs. I'll call my group Eggs and Bacon. Skillet. Here's another one. Charmaine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty blatant, isn't it? How about this guy? Everybody knows this guy is. Let me blow this up a little bit. Toby Mac. Yeah. I'll start cheering some of you. I'm just kidding. What's the album called? Eye on It.
Eye on It.
Yeah, how about that? Eye on It. See? This is, and Toby Mac, DC Talk, of DC Talk fame, right? This guy. Now, Pastor Cooley is not as smart as some of these CCM artists, and I don't have the education that some of these men have. I didn't go to Bible school like he did when he went to Falwell School, I believe. But I don't have the education. But I know where to find this, and I know what this stands for, okay? I know what that stands for, and Toby Mac, you know what it stands for, too, because that's why you're doing it, because you're tipping your hat to the Antichrist. Because that's the God of CCM. How about this? Anybody ever seen this? Third Day. You've heard of Third Day? What's that symbol? Brother Nate, you know what that symbol is. That's right. It's for infinity. But you see that? Now, he's not talking about what you're talking about when you think of everlasting life. Yeah, Buddhists use this. A lot of Satanists use this. A lot of Luciferians use it. A lot of the cults use it, okay? And I'll talk to you a little bit about it in a second here. But there's a lot more going on there. Oh, look who else uses this. Tarot deck. Now what would Third Day be doing with the same symbol that is used in the tarot deck? That doesn't make any sense, does it? Yes, it does, because the God of CCM is the Antichrist.
Amen.
I just changed the title, by the way, of that sermon. That's what it's going to go on a sermon audio, because it just fits. Because that is the God of CCM. It's the Antichrist.
That's right.
That's who it is. See that? Exactly who it is. See, symbols mean something, and these people know it, okay? They know it. And you speak in symbols. I've taught you over and over again, from the Masons to every other group, that they speak in symbols. Like I told you again, the story of the old pastor I had that said, well, as long as they don't try to recruit people, they can wear the ring. It's no big deal. The ring is the recruitment. That's the speech. That's the language they're speaking. Okay? This is a call out. This is a call out. Okay? This is letting you know. Listen, when you're a gang member, don't ask me how I know this, but when you're a gang member and you're walking through crowds, you do certain hand signals to call out to people so they know who you are. So that you wear certain colors so you identify with your gang. So if you're ever in trouble, you throw up gang signs. If you're ever in a crowd with people and you're in trouble and it's really bad and you're alone, you start throwing up a bunch of gang signs. Why? To let people know where you're at so they can come to your defense if they're driving by. Or if they're in the crowd, wherever you're at. See, these guys know that too. So you see, these guys understand the Antichrist spirit because they have it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't use those symbols. A child of God stays far away from those symbols. You wouldn't catch him playing games with those kind of things. Because he knows exactly what. And don't tell me these guys don't know, because they know exactly what they're messing with. They know exactly. The cover of the Third Day album, Third Day's album, Time displays a well-known occult symbol called the Lazy Eight, or the infinity symbol underneath the word time. Dr. Kathy Burns documents the satanic connection to this symbol. Another satanic symbol is the Lazy Eight, or the infinity sign. To occultists, it represents Lucifer's eternal victory. It also symbolizes reincarnation and karma. No, not caramel. Karma. It's also used in the brimstone symbol and appears at the top of the nine satanic statements. It's also found floating above the head of a magician on the tarot card, like you just seen. Why? Because they're all the same spirit. Don't you get it? Don't you get it when you sing praises to your God and you're singing hymns that glorify Him and it's not glorifying your flesh? You're all with one accord singing. That's what you're doing. These guys, they're doing something else. They're singing praises to their God. And they're showing you by these symbols, like this all-seeing eye that Toby Mac has, he's showing you who his God is. And he hates you and he hates what you stand for. You just start testing those charismatics and those wicked people with that kundalini spirit and them devils. You watch the devils manifest to them, how angry they get. They all start talking about love and they love everybody. We just got to all get along and love each other. Yeah. Until you rebuke them and watch the devil come out of them. There's a strong CCM has the strong New Age Antichrist spirit. Casting Crown songs have been sung by Lancaster Baptist Church. West Coast College. They took, and some of you don't know about West Coast, some of you others do that have been around in fundamentalism for a while. You understand who West Coast Baptist College is and who Lancaster is. That's Paul Chapel. His music department has single-handedly taken those songs and changed them and played with them and put them up on stage, and they're singing the same songs that these wicked Antichrist spirit people are singing. Now, no, I don't think they're wicked Antichrist people. I think they're trying to take on the world. I think they're trying to attract the world. I think they're using a music program because music has power. Casting Crowns, radical ecumenism, and spiritual carelessness is evident in that they participated in the National Worship Leader Conference in 2011, joining hands with men such as Jack Hayford, who says God spoke personally to him and told him not to judge the Roman Catholic Church. You ever notice something? These clowns always got a vision, always got somebody else talking to them, but never the revealed word of God. It's always some clown talking to them. Some spirit talking to them. It's not the spirit of God. What is it? The spirit of Antichrist.
Amen.
The God of CCM is Antichrist. Another prominent speaker at the conference was Leonard Sweet, who promotes a wide variety of New Age heresies. He calls his universalist-tinged doctrine New Light and quantum spirituality and the Christ conscience, and describes it in terms of the union of the human with the divine, which is the center feature of all world religions. What are they doing? Bringing everybody in. Bringing them all in together. Oh, we all got to be one. No, we really don't all have to be one. No, we don't. We really don't have to be one, because I don't want to be one with you. I really have no desire to be one with you, because you're all gearing up for your fourth kingdom to come and to rise. That's what you're all gearing up. CCM is the battle cry. By the way, I'm going to preach a sermon to you sometime soon called CCM, the Soundtrack of Hell.
I don't think I preached that one. That sounds good.
Hell, that's all it is. And for hell. Sweet defines the new light as a structure of human becoming, a channeling of Christ energies through mind-body experience. Sweet says that new light pastors hold the doctrine of the embodiment of God in the very substance of creation. In Carpe Manana, Sweet says the earth is as much a part of the body of Christ as humans, and that humanity and the earth constitutes a cosmic body of Christ. Pantheism, right? Sweet says that some of the new light leaders that have influenced his thinking are Matthew Fox, M. Scott Peck, Willis Harmon, and Ken Wilber. These are prominent New Agers who believe in the divinity of man, as we have documented in the book, David Cloud documented in the book, New Age Tower of Babel. Sweet has endorsed the Shack, which is a non-judgmental father, mother, God. What a bunch of garbage that book is. They are a bunch of blasphemers. And he promotes the Roman Catholic contemplative mysticism. We know where that came from, right? Who used that? Who popularized that? Jesuits did, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
The Jesuits did. That's who popularized it. Contemplative mysticism. That's the spiritual exercises, correct? Of who? Well, the Jesuit general. All coming back to mama, aren't you? The Shack, with its non-judgmental father, mother, God, it promotes the contemplative mysticism and dangerous mystics such as the Catholic Buddhist, Thomas Merton. Merton. They're all working together, folks. They're all comfortable together. Why do you think you're preaching outside of these things and they're all inside and they hate your guts? Because the God of CCM is the Antichrist. That's why. Casting Crowns performed with Sanctus Real. Ever heard of them? Probably not. Good thing you haven't. In December 2011, Matt Hammett of Sanctus Real participated in the 2003 tour of the Hero Rock Opera, which depicts Jesus as a cool black man. In Hero, the Last Supper is a barbecue party, and Jesus is crucified on a city street sign. Sanctus Real and Stephen Curtis Chapman played a concert in 2003 at St. Mary's Seminary, sponsored by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Cleveland, Ohio. Why? Because they're all the same spirit, that's why. They're all together. So you're listening to music that all these people... And by the way, before somebody says, well, haven't you listened to a hymn by Martin Luther or something like that? Yeah, I've listened to Lutheran hymns and Presbyterian hymns and Baptist hymns. Yeah, people that wrote that. Yeah, but you know what? Not a one of them made me want to go be a Lutheran. Not a one of them made me want to go be a Presbyterian. But a lot of them made me want to know my God better. Because they honor God. Those hymns are not about those people and those artists. These hymns are about the Antichrist or the person. It's always about me and what I can do and what's wrong with me and what's better for me. They don't exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. In What the World Needs, Casting Crowns attacks every Bible-believing fundamentalist church. They sing that we need to stop hiding behind our walls, which is a brash denunciation of biblical separatism. On the video of What This World Needs, they say that this world doesn't need my denomination or my translation of the Bible. They just need Jesus. They're not talking about the same Jesus. They're not. And they hate this book right here. They want a Jesus that speaks to them contrary to what this says. That's it. So they say, this is Jesus. And I say, I agree with you. You have that Jesus. It's the Antichrist, other Jesus, other Christ.
Amen. That's some good preaching right there. Well, listen, we'll have to stop that right there for now. But anyway, if you want to listen to that entire sermon, it's called The God of CCM is the Antichrist. And you can listen to that. That was only about 15 minutes of it. I skipped through some things. It's about an hour and 10 minutes long. It'll give you a lot of information on CCM. But I was warning about that, obviously, years ago, as many other men warned before me about that. But, you know, I talked about that CCM and the dangers of it. Now we're seeing it full scale here. 6 years later, hard to believe it's been 6 years. I preached that 6 years ago in May, coming up here. So, but you can listen to that sermon and it'll detail a lot of that, a lot of those things that now we see right in front of our faces. We're watching it. So anyway, you can listen to that and, you know, just, who'd have thought mainstream CCM would be so absolutely mainstream now with everything, everywhere. Just unbelievable. So anyway, but a lot to cover there, a lot to think about, but you can listen to that. Go back and listen to that sermon. It's definitely available for listening too, and it's on YouTube also as well. And it has only gotten worse. Time has proven that things have gotten worse. The apostasy has risen higher and higher. You know, they're messing around with DNA. I'll finish up with this one. Let's see if I can find it on CRISPR. You know, as they, let's see. There we go. Here's a new article here I'll give you. CRISPR, the first tough test. CRISPR base editing slashes cholesterol levels in monkeys. So what they're gearing towards is what? Editing your DNA. A form of CRISPR widely expected to be safer and possibly more effective than the original has aced its first substantive test when CRISPR-based editing was used to knock out two cholesterol-associated genes in monkeys. The animal's blood levels of heart disease causing LDL or bad cholesterol and triglycerides plunge as much as 60%. They want to turn you into a beast. Amen. They want to turn you into beasts. The result was from Verve's experiment in 14 cynomolgus monkeys, or crab-eating masks, are the first published data showing successful CRISPR-based editing in a non-human primate. See, they want to treat you like an animal. They want to treat you like an animal, and they want to edit your DNA and be like, oh, you're just like monkeys, you're just like animals, so we'll go ahead and edit your DNA. I'm telling you, folks, it's dangerous stuff. As in the days of Noah. Sometime just for fun, I'll just go back through all my old archives. And you'll probably enjoy them, by the way. But let's see. I should update some of these. I've done that over the years. I've updated the days of Noah a little bit, you know, and updated some of that. But
Genesis chapter 6.
Way back in 2013, 8 years
and
ago.
And I do understand that if you've never studied this, and many here have never really studied this, it may sound kind of crazy. When we brought the sons of God and the daughters of men message, some of you had never heard that before, some of you had. But it sounds kind of crazy when you look at it. Well, it is crazy because the devil is crazy and he's wicked and his demons are wicked and his fallen angels are wicked. But, you know, without going too much over what we had already talked about, understand this one thing, that there were angels that fell with Satan, and then there were angels that left their first estate. Those two are not the same group. Those that, as Sodom and Gomorrah, and going after strange flesh, those were the ones. You say, well, what and where they are now? And we'll kind of go through that and explain coming of the Son of Man be when you see all the be asleep like in the night, but it's high time we awake out of sleep. And Lord, I pray that we would, and we would see it in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 6. And it again in scripture, and it always details a warrior-like man. And renown always talks about renown for evilness and wickedness and violence. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. Is that not shocking to you? He killed. We're going to look at that. We're going to see. And the fowl, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and the unclean beast, how many you take. And so if you listen to this sermon, keep listening all the way to the end, and it'll start to make sense to you a little bit clearly. It'll be a little clearer at the end. Well, number one, we do understand that the generations were defiled. They were being defiled. All of the different hybrids. Now pay attention to that word, because at the end of this message, that word is going to be very important for you to understand. Something had went on here that displeased the Lord, and the evilness of the times had...
Man, I kind of want to preach through some of that again. Genesis chapter 6, only with PowerPoint and pictures and things a little bit more, because things, I could update a lot of things. I might do that, Lord willing. I might go back to some of that. Maybe I'll save it for broadcast. I don't know. Maybe I'll do it sometime in the church. I don't know. Maybe, but I think I'll probably do it on a broadcast, and I'll put together some different things. I'd like to update some of that on hybrids and violence and all those other things in the days of Noah. Maybe go back and redo some of that. Anyway, we'll look at doing that in the future here and see what the Lord would have us to do. All right, everybody. Listen, if you want to support our ministry, you can go to our sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley page that you see. Let me get it over there right here. And you can click on Give right there. And you can click on PayPal. If you don't want to go that way, you can go right from your PayPal account, and you can click on salvationpreacher@gmail.com or PastorCooley@iCloud.com. You can send it there through your PayPal, or you can mail us a check down at the bottom of the screen here. All right? You can mail that to support our ministry if you would like. Please pray for us as we serve the Lord, as we live for God, as we continue on in faithfulness to Him. Pray that the Lord would continue to bless the work that we do, that God would continue to be honored and glorified by all that we do for Him. And pray for our evangelism. By the way, thank you to somebody who sent me a mysterious box that I got. I opened that box up. It had a lot of information in it. It'll take me a while to go through it. And they put a nice money order in there for us and gave to our ministry. I appreciate that. Somebody from New England. I don't know who it was, but thank you for doing that. They didn't leave their name on it. They just left a money order in there with my name on it and wanted to support the ministry. And I appreciate that. Thank you for that. I'm grateful to you for helping us and for the information. I'll look through it when I get some time and got a lot of resources that you sent me. And I appreciate that. I'll look into everything like that. I will try as soon as I can to upload things back over to YouTube, but I plan on broadcasting from Sermon Audio. And then we're going to be looking at our website, going to be talking to Andrew, meeting with him here this weekend, going to be looking at some different opportunities there and what we can do for that, okay? So we're looking to see what we can do about that. So you pray for us, that the Lord would help us with our website, help us with all those things. If you want to join our chat, if you're on Instant Messenger right now, you can send me a request and you can join our chat. But that's about the only way I can do that as of right now. I don't have any other way to do that. We're working on it for our website. Subscribe to our website if you haven't done that. I'm going to have Andrew start sending out those notices, or show me how to send out notices for our website so we can update you on things that are going on in our ministry and all that good stuff. But I'll just upload videos to YouTube. I won't be broadcasting there probably. I really don't want to at all. I'm tired of it the way that they do things. So you pray for us that the Lord would bless the work that we do. And if you want to say hi before I go here on this chat, if you haven't said hi yet, you most certainly can. I think most of you are on there. But if not, I miss everybody on that we did have on YouTube. We have about 40 people that are live with us on sermon audio, but on YouTube we had more like closer to, 70 to 100. But I don't think they're on sermon audio like that.
I've never had much in this world below, but I'm going to a city where the streets are pure gold. Christ made me an heir, I'm a child of the King. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
Shake hands with a poor boy, and how do you do? Have you met my father? He cares about you. He's the King of all glory. His praises I'll sing. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
I'm depending on heaven for my home in the sky. Already I'm heading for that sweet by and by. I've been adopted and placed with a king. So shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
Shake hands with a poor boy, and how do you do? Have you met my father? He cares about you.
He cares about you.
He's the King of all glory. His praises I'll sing. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
He's the King of all glory.
He's the King of all glory.
His praises I'll sing. Shake hands with a poor boy
who owns everything.
Owns everything.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
All right. Praise the Lord. That's good stuff right there. Forever and ever. God bless you all. Take care. Possibly might broadcast the sermon only on Sunday. That would be Sunday morning. And possibly the Sunday afternoon one. I don't know yet, but we'll see. We'll see. I'll pray about that. And otherwise, we will see you all Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time, which is 3 p.m. Eastern Time. All right? God bless you all. Take care of yourselves.